It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The State Department has extended the closings of nearly two dozen U.S. diplomatic posts from Central Asia through the Middle East and into North Africa. The response is to what is being called the most serious intelligence since before the 9/11 attacks. The terror threat has not only united some lawmakers, it's also impacted the discussion about National Security Agency surveillance programs, which has turned from whether NSA surveillance programs should be curbed, the debate ignited by the secrets revealed by NSA leaker Edward Snowden, to a discussion of how effective the programs may be. There are also questions being raised by skeptics about the timing of the embassy closings, coming on the heels of discussions about rolling back some of the powers of the NSA. I'm joined now by phone by Dan Simpson, associate editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette editorial page and former U.S. ambassador to three countries, including the Central African Republic. He joins us now by phone. Dan Simpson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be with you.
We're coming up on the one-year anniversary next month of the attack on the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya. How much has that incident, Dan, impacted the way terror alerts are now issued?
Well, it's probably it is lurking in the background as a political issue as well as a security matter, and it's probably made, if one takes what has just occurred as honest, then it has probably caused people to be more responsive to so-called two alleged terrorist threats than they would be otherwise.
Is the U.S. overreacting? And I bring that up because in our discussions leading up to this interview, you seem to question the need for closing these embassies for several days.
Well, I think it's a game. You know, if you're the United States government and you are trying to defend your surveillance practices, which have certainly been under criticism for good reason, then what would be better than to say, oh my goodness, through this surveillance we have just identified a serious terrorist attack, and we will close all of these embassies, and then the attack won't take place, we hope, and then we can say, oh my goodness, there's a justification for all of this surveillance. So all of you people who are complaining about your loss of privacy and so on, you should just shut up.
There was an email.
I don't buy it. I think it's a game.
Well, you're not alone, Dan. There was an email that was sent to us by one of our faithful listeners, Chris in Moon, who says that after a year of discovering the U.S. government monitors all of our communications, spies on journalists, and hounds whistleblowers, a healthy skepticism has been surgically implanted in the minds of many Americans about the value of these claims. Timing is convenient, coming on the heels of a vote nearly derailing some of the powers the NSA and other agencies won from Congress and broadly interpreted to their benefit. A threat is also a handy distraction for elected officials returning to face voters during the August recess. To best judge the threat, says Chris, it's useful to look at the response of our allies, and the UK has restricted access to its Yemen embassy, but that's it. And the Germans, who last week ended an information sharing agreement with the U.S. over the Edward Snowden affair, they appear to have done nothing. What about what Chris brings up?
Well, you see, there's another angle to it, too, and that is that, our allies are our allies, but I don't think that they always feel obliged to share, to become involved in our little political games. I don't think they feel that they're obliged to do that. The other thing that one must remember is that it costs something to close an embassy. I mean, for one thing, it's like blinding yourself and sticking your fingers in your ears in the place where you have the embassy. I mean, if the place is closed, well, then, the people, the American officers who are normally out finding out what's going on aren't doing so. So it's an expensive trick, too. If it's a trick, it's an expensive trick.
Is there a danger to, in a situation like this, and God forbid that anything does happen, that nobody wants an attack, but at the same time, if something doesn't happen, then each time you issue these warnings, is there a danger that, particularly, you know, when you're talking about a global travel alert, which affects, you know, your average American traveling somewhere, even in the United States, is there a danger that, as we hear more of these warnings, people aren't, and nothing happens, people aren't going to take them as seriously?
Well, that's absolutely right. There's the cry wolf factor. And, you know, at this point in time, Department of State travel warnings are not taken seriously by almost anybody, you know. And the other thing is, you know, I noticed that they cited, oh, my goodness, we're responding to a greater amount of traffic, you know, communications between al-Qaeda elements. Well, okay, if that's it, did it ever cross their minds that maybe what they were talking about was the end of Ramadan, which is coming up too, or what? I don't buy it. I think it's a game.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador Dan Simpson, associate editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette editorial page. And has enough been done, Dan, by the U.S. government since the Benghazi attack to show that our consulates and embassies aren't as vulnerable to attack as terrorists might be led to believe?
Well, I think so. I mean, we certainly have beefed up security. But there is only so much that one can do in any case. And still remain effective in these places. I think that there is more money being spent on security, more personnel being devoted to it, more attention being paid to the capacity of the military to respond to threats, and so on. But honestly, there's only so much one can do in any case. The Benghazi case was an extreme one in that that was a relatively new office that had been established. It did not have secure facilities. And Benghazi, where, by the way, I lived for a couple of years, although it was during a quiet period in time, I mean, Benghazi has remained lawless. There is no no Libyan national security force in charge there. The justice system in the new post-Gaddafi Libya does not function. So, you know, it's going to be dangerous no matter what. Now, all of these places aren't as raw as that, but in any of them, you know, a determined crowd that's willing to surround an embassy and wait it out and firebomb it and so on is going to eventually succeed.
Dan Simpson is associate editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette editorial page and a former U.S. ambassador to three countries, including the Central African Republic, joining us by phone. Dan Simpson, thanks so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Okay, Paul. Nice to talk with you.
Likewise. Later this month, swimmer Darren Millar heads to Northern Ireland to complete the Ocean 7 Challenge. This past weekend, he completed a 24-mile swim in the Ohio, Monongahela, and Allegheny Rivers. After the break, we'll talk with Darren Millar as he prepares to travel to Northern Ireland to complete the Ocean 7 Challenge. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh, and I'm Paul Guggenheimer on 90.5 WESA.